And I've got a picture of Colossus up there. Those who've been over to Langley, it's a massive building. And it's a real God story that we are there. I'll tell you a little bit later on as we go through a bit of the story that way, because it ties into this message here this morning. But it's our home away from home, and it's a real God thing that we are there. That doesn't even do justice to it. But sometimes, and I'm going to be talking about launching deep, sometimes when God calls us to launch deep in faith, he takes you beyond a place that you could ever imagine. He takes you beyond something that begins stretching you, and it begins challenging you. And so this has been home for the past 3.5-4 years. Now we're loving the faith journey. And it's neat because we are seeing people come to faith. We are, we've kind of stayed under the grid in terms of the Christian world. When God called us to plant Urban Road, we knew it was to be an expression for people who have never connected to Jesus before. And it is neat to see these raw people come in who have had either no church background, no faith background, or have maybe been disconnected along the way, and they're coming back to faith. And so it's been a privilege for us to do that. I get to co-pastor it and co-lead with my best friend, with my wife, Michelle, and that is a huge thing, just to be able to serve together in ministry. We have two kids. Our daughter, Caden, is 9, going on about 13 or 14 right now, and our son, Nevin, is 7. And again, even just the way that this weekend has worked out, Katie left for camp yesterday. Nevin went up to my in-laws, and we're in a our summer series right now at Urban Road, which we do a summer film series, and which is kind of cool, in a big movie theater. We just show a video messages for a couple of weeks, and so I had a free Sunday. So that's, again, it's almost like God just kind of orchestrated a couple things along the way. So like I say, I'm super excited to speak this morning. My ferry leaves at 12:45, so I've got lots of time. No, you don't need to panic that way. I want to share a passage that has become incredibly impactful in my own life. You've probably all got a favorite scripture that you have grabbed a hold of in your life, but have you ever had scriptures that have grabbed hold of you? Maybe there's a difference. We all have favorite verses, or we have favorite parts of the Bible that we come back to, but there are some that grab a hold of our soul, and it won't let go. And that's what this passage is here this morning in this story from Luke chapter 5. So I just want to read it and then just unpack it a little bit here this morning. But Luke chapter 5 starts off this way. It says, "Once when Jesus was standing on the shore of Galilee, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats sitting at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out and launch it out onto the water. And he sat on the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.' 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all last night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again.' And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear, and a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking." Amazing, amazing story that's there. It's true that life is about story. When you think about it, the Bible is full of stories, but life itself is about story. It's a story of God at work in our world. It's a story of this perfect God who steps into our messy, broken world, and it's a story of how he wants his life to collide with ours. All of us have a story. All of us come into this place here today because of stories, stories of other people who have shaped us and who have defined us. Experiences, whether positive or negative, good or bad, painful or joyful, that have shaped us and defined us to become the people who we are today. And when you look at it, story is the story of God at work in ordinary people's lives. Story. It's so important. And here's the thing about story and our stories, is it's growing, it's messy, it's beautiful. It's full of tensions, it's full of challenges, it's full of doubts, it's full of confidences that happen. When you think back to your own, perhaps, journey with Jesus, it has the ups and downs that go along with it. No one has a perfect trajectory of faith that is just continually just awesome and perfect and put together. But there is this thing in life that is messy, and we say this a lot at Urban Road. There is a messy beautifulness that comes out of faith. Because all of us come from places that have been broken at times, messy at times, and yet somehow God weaves this movement of story throughout our lives. We've coined a term that we've used a lot called stories in motion. And I think that's really what faith is about, that our lives are this story in motion. All of our lives. That we, as we grow in faith, as we get to know Jesus, that this motion, this movement begins happening, and God begins taking us someplace. And really, when you begin getting into the Bible story, it's termed the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is all about this movement and things that are going to happen. It's what Jesus continually taught about. And so as the story began, and as we started reading, it says that Jesus began teaching the people, and the people were attracted and began coming to hear what he was going to talk about. I understand you've been working through a series called The Jesus Lifestyle. And I love that, this whole idea and message that Jesus speaks on the Sermon of the Mount, greatest communication, greatest message that has ever happened. And what, as you've been going through it, I'm sure that you begin realizing that what Jesus is teaching is something so unlike anything that anyone has ever heard of in their entire lives. Jesus comes and he begins talking about this concept and this idea that God is at work in people and that God is at work in the world, and it begins stirring something up, and it begins establishing this new paradigm and this new mindset and new attitudes and new values. You've read before, and I'm sure Jazz has already talked about this, but Sermon on the Mount comes back over and over and over again where Jesus says, you've heard it said in the past like this, but I'm going to show you and teach you something new. You've heard it said before, well, you've got to hate your enemies. You've got to seek revenge. But I'm going to introduce you to a new way and to a new concept that's there. All of a sudden, their world begins getting turned upside down. There's something far greater, something unexpected. People could say it's upside down. Perhaps it's more correctly right side up. There are new priorities. Jesus said, if you want to achieve something in the world, it's not you reaching the top, but it's you seeking first my kingdom. He said, if it's about establishing yourself as the top dog, he said, it's not going to get you any place. But if you come with the faith of a little child and you come as the least of these, then I can actually do something with that. And so there's all of this that begins happening, and Jesus models this message and this action that is characterized by this tangible love and compassion and generosity. And before you know it, people begin noticing it. And we read throughout the biblical story that people are attracted. People start coming because they say, this is a message that we need to hear. This is a message we haven't heard before. Shane Claiborne, and I apologize for the smallness of the font here, but he writes this about the gospel or this message of the kingdom. He said, the gospel spreads best not through force, but through fascination. I love that. Hugh Halter in Tangible Kingdom says, the gospel is about a new kingdom that will change everything about a person, their community, and their world. And so here Jesus begins teaching the crowds, and the crowds can't get enough because they say there is something that is so real. There is this hope. There is this freedom that begins happening when Jesus comes along. And he's not just teaching it. He's modeling it. It's in action for him. But it's so true. When people begin seeing the message of God's kingdom at work, they get fascinated by it. And they say, I wonder what this is about. And this is something that we see happening even within our own faith community, where people are saying, man, this is a little bit different than what we've heard before, but if this is who Jesus is, if this is what he's about, I want to know more. We have people that have been coming for the last year, 2 years, kind of in and out of the community, but they keep getting pulled in. And I see them so often sitting there with tears in their eyes that they are getting pulled in. They are becoming fascinated with Jesus. And they're being drawn into this journey of faith. And we're seeing people that have said, man, there's no way that I ever would have stepped into a church before. But I'm coming to faith now. I'm following Jesus. And it's an amazing, amazing thing when you see people who are getting drawn towards him. And so that's just kind of the setting for this story, that Jesus is teaching the crowds. He's teaching them about the kingdom. He's teaching them about what a life of faith looks like. And then it says that as he looks over the crowd, he notices something that's there. He notices these two boats that are sitting on the water's edge. But he notices something specific about them, and it's simply this, that they're empty fishing boats. They're empty. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that Jesus is not thrown off or surprised by emptiness. Aren't you thankful in your own life that Jesus isn't caught off guard when he sees something that's empty? We might shrink away from it or say, man, that's a bit of a challenge that's there, but he actually never gets caught off guard by emptiness. In fact, I think he actually goes looking for it because he can fill it. He can do something about it. He wants to take what's empty or broken or put on the side somewhere, and he wants to step into that place in that situation. He is attracted and drawn to emptiness because he can fill it. Think back to creation. When God began the world, we're told in the very beginning parts of that chapter that it was this earth that was empty, that was full of chaos and darkness and messiness. And as that's happening, God looks out at this emptiness and he says, I can do something about that. I can do something with that. And he speaks this powerful creative word into the universe. And with simply the words, let there be light, he releases this life and this fulfillment and this fruitfulness into our universe. See, we look at nothing and realize that we can't do anything about it. God looks at that nothingness and says, I can actually do something with that. Isn't that grace? Isn't that the story of God at work in our lives? Job 26, verse 7 says, God stretches out the northern sky over empty space. And I love this phrase. It says, he hangs the world on nothing. It was way too warm to wear a jacket today. But imagine if I had this jacket, and we when we hang up jackets, always look for a hook, or we look for something that we can put this, hang this jacket up on. You'd never think of hanging up a jacket on nothing. Our kids do that all the time, don't they? If you've got little ones, oh, sure, it's close enough. But we would never think of putting a jacket and hanging it on empty space. God looks at that same emptiness and says, I can actually hang the world on that. That's the type of God that we serve. That's the type of God who looks for the emptiness that is around him. Creation of man, it's just this pile of dirt, of dust. Formless. It's just kind of this blob that's there. And God looks at that nothingness, this kind of this, just this form and structure, and he says, I can do something with that. And he breathes his own life breath into him, and he becomes a human being. He comes into being. Romans 4:17 says, God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So God can call things into existence that have never existed before. And so I love it as this starting point for this story that Jesus is talking with people about this new paradigm that can take place that will cause us to launch deeper, that will cause us to experience him in different ways. And yet he looks at that emptiness and says, that's my starting point. That's my starting beginning point when his world and our world, when his life and our life collide and our stories and our passions get reawakened from within. Bob Goff, if you've ever read his book, Love Does, or if you haven't read it, I should say, highly recommend it. Just an amazing, amazing book. But he says this, God doesn't break things so he can fix them. He fixes broken things so he can use them. Isn't that good? I resonate with that. I look back into my own life that God is into fixing broken things so he can use them. He sees these empty fishing boats. They're mending their nets. And God says, as he's looking at this scene, that's not too difficult. I can take what's broken and use them. Rob Bell terms it the God who wastes nothing. I love that phrase. God wastes nothing in our lives. God wastes nothing in your life. I don't know your situation, I don't know your story, or what's brought you to this point, but I know that all of us need to grab hold of that this morning. We serve a God who wastes nothing in our lives. We've had people sharing their stories over the last little bit, and I'll tell you this, there are some really messy, messy situations out there. And yet we had this one girl, she's actually our next door neighbor. They've come back to faith, but you can actually find this on the podcast if you want to hear more, and we've got information about her blog. But she is in her late 20s, grew up in a non-Christian environment, ended up getting assaulted in just a horrific way when she was in her early 20s. 6 months later, it happened again. She's a two-time cancer survivor, and now she's married with two kids, and their oldest has autism. And it's been this huge struggle, but we had the privilege of baptizing them last year and seeing them get reawakened to faith. And so she shared this story of her life, and everyone's bawling, and you just have this just unimaginable circumstances that she's walked through in life. And she sat up there and she said, "I thank God for what he allowed me to walk through." I've been a pastor for a long time. I don't know that I could say that, at least honestly. And yet she's saying, "I'm thankful for even that horrificness that happened in my life, because it showed me that God's strength can keep me and can move me forward." God wastes nothing in our lives. There is a God who is at work shaping us and defining us and moving us into the fullness of his purposes, and he doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. I want you to hear that this morning. God can actually do something with our lives. He sees beyond this empty fishing boat, because he actually sees where he's going to take people, and he envisions this beautiful future and this fruitfulness that will happen. Well, let me talk about a little bit about the situation that's happening with the disciples, because I think it's important before we get to kind of the good miracle fun stuff. And it has to do with their mindset and their experiences. And it's tied into two things. One, their comfort zone, to what they're familiar with. And second of all, this paralyzation by fear and failure. So let me talk about the comfort zone for a little bit. Our natural instinct when things begin happening around us is to pull back. If we've experienced setbacks or failures, we want to head closer to shore, because it's what's known. It's what's familiar. We default to what we know. Maybe it's too big, or we say, that's calling me to stretch just a little bit too much more. It's too unpredictable. I'm not sure what might happen if I actually, you know, go all the way with Jesus, or if I actually step out and do what he's calling me to do, or if I take this faith thing and take it a few more steps. It's too crazy sounding, or too dangerous, or too risky. And yet Jesus calls them and says, "I want you to lose sight of the shore. I want you to launch out deeper. Take one more step." It's been said a ship in port is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Have you ever seen, and you've got a beautiful harbor here in Gibson's, ships that just sit around the dock all day? Beautiful boats, incredible boats, but they're not designed to sit and dock. They come in quickly, restock, and they should be out again, doing what they're called to do. A ship in port is safe, but it's not what it's meant for. I thought this is an interesting story. There's a man named Dean Karnazes, and we've got a picture. It's hard to see, but there he is running in who knows where, up in the mountains somewhere. How many of you are joggers? Are there any joggers here? One brave soul. I remember as a comedian that said that they'll take up jogging the first time they see a runner actually smiling when they're running. So good enough for me. Anyways, I'm sure we can still appreciate this. Dean is not just a marathoner, he is an ultra-marathoner. And these guys are a bit crazy, long distance. He knows what it means to leave the comfort zone. He once ran 50 marathons in all 50 states in the U.S. on 50 consecutive days. Think about that for a second. Incredibly nuts. He once ran 350 miles in 3 days without stopping and with no sleep. He's run, it's called the Badwater Ultra Marathon. How's that for, doesn't that make you want to sign up? Badwater Ultra Marathon. He's run it 7 times. It starts in Death Valley, 250 feet below sea level, and it concludes 135 miles later, halfway up Mount Whitney at 8,360 feet. He won the race in 2004 on his 5th attempt. I wouldn't even want to try it once. He runs 100 to 170 miles a week. He couldn't find time to run the 4 to 6 hours a day that he needs to keep training, so he began sleeping less, currently only sleeps 4 hours a night. His resting heart rate is 39 beats a minute. These are some lessons that he talked about the comfort zone, and I thought they were so helpful. He said this, comfort is overrated. Doesn't lead to happiness. In fact, the comfort zone can make us lazy and forgetful because it often leads to boredom and discontent. He said discomfort can actually be a catalyst for growth because it pushes you for something that you feel inside of you. It pushes you towards your goal and to what you are striving for. It forces us to change and to stretch and to adapt. Discomfort's often a sign that we're making progress. Think about that for a second. Isn't it true? We love our comfort zones. Why? Because that's where we feel comfortable. And yet when God is calling us and asking us to be Jesus followers, he's not asking us to stay in a place of comfort or predictability. The Celtics back in the day, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the early Celtic Christians, had a description for the Holy Spirit. And they called him the wild goose. Think about that imagery for a second. We talk about wild goose chases where you're over there and you take off over there, but there's really no sense of direction. But they said, no, the wild goose, he leads us in ways that are unpredictable, in ways that we can't just kind of come into this predictable rhythm, but that is the Spirit of God leading us and taking us on this wild adventure that's there. And so comfort is a place that we know so often we gravitate towards, but if we are going to be effective as Jesus followers or as a faith community, God is asking all of us to step out of our comfort zones. And it's a place that, again, is scary so often, but it is the place where adventure happens. It is the place where God's miracles and God's provision and God's openings and opportunities take place is when we step out from the empty shore and we begin launching out into the deep. Change means one thing. Things won't be staying the same. It always will have tension and challenge to it. If change was easy, we would always be changing all the time. Isn't it true? If change was this kind of fun thing that we all go through, then we would probably gravitate towards it so often. And yet, the disciples here are in this comfort zone where they're saying, well, this is our sweet spot. This is what we're used to. And so when Jesus is actually calling us to launch out deeper, it goes against our training and our experiences. But it's a different reality that happens. The second atmosphere that they have is this sense of fear and failure. We're told that they've been fishing all night. They've caught nothing. They've been skunked. And there's nothing worse as a fisherman than to come back empty-handed. And yet, this is not so much when they hear Jesus calling them, it's not an idea they've come up with themselves. It's a response to a word that God has given to them. And I think that's so key. When God begins planting thoughts within us, when he begins giving us a dream, when he begins stirring up imagination within us, or he gives us a word or an idea, it changes the playing field, doesn't it? All of a sudden, when God calls us to do it, it takes on a different tone and a different meaning. If it's honestly, we can come up with so many crazy ideas ourselves, but one God thought, one God idea can change absolutely everything. And so Jesus says to these experienced and seasoned fishermen, he says, launch out where it's deep and cast your net on the other side. That's wrong. It's wrong, 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 wrong. It's the wrong way. It's the wrong time, it's the wrong side, it's the wrong location. It goes against everything that these guys have ever stood for, everything that these guys have ever experienced in life. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, I want you to launch out deep. Well, these fishermen, back in the time, they would fish in shallow water. So it's completely opposite to what their experience is. Going down deep, they had very primitive types of nets and everything else, but he says, I want you to do it deep. In a parallel passage, he says, I want you to cast your net on the other side, the opposite side of your boat. Well, it goes against the grain of how they structured things, of how they were used to functioning. And so there's all of these wrong realities that are there. It's the wrong time, the wrong place, the wrong way. The other reality is that Jesus sees it differently. Doesn't that change it? When Jesus sees it, it is different. Someone said it like this: unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God. Think about that for a second. We're standing here, and God's over there. And unbelief somehow puts circumstances in the way, and we can look around us and say, well, it doesn't make sense, or it's going to pull us out of our comfort zone, or we've failed at this before, or we're fearful. And unbelief puts circumstances right there between us and God. But faith turns it around. When God begins speaking something, it actually positions God between us and our circumstances. And all of a sudden, when God gets himself in the midst and in the center of it, it changes everything, and faith propels us forward. I want to share a little bit about when we launched Urban Road. We had been involved in pastoral ministry at two different churches, which is a little bit crazy. We did that for one summer, and just about killed us. But we ended up at one of these churches for a couple extra years, and then we knew that God was moving us forward. And sometimes God opens up doors in front of you to lead you. Sometimes he slams doors behind you to get you moving. And this is one of those slamming the door moments, if you've had those before. And so for 9 months, we found ourselves without a job. Michelle was pregnant with our second. She was actually working 12 hours a week. She was the major breadwinner at 12 hours. And we had just bought a new house. And we're sitting there saying, okay, God, now what? We've been launched deep, really deep. And there are some just cool stories. I don't have time to share all of them, but one of them, this was absolutely a miracle that this is why I resonate with this passage. We had 3 months of salary that we were given, which was a blessing to us. And so we put that into a separate bank account, and Michelle just kept managing that for us. Every 2 weeks, we drew from that like we would normally do with our paycheck. We kept tithing, kept investing, kept saying, God, we don't understand all of this, but we know that we are being launched out into someplace deep. And the money was to take us until the end of October. And about the middle of October, Shell goes into our bank account and she said, this is kind of crazy. We actually have money in here to take us into November. We thought, that's pretty cool, because we know there have not been any direct deposits there. These funds are dwindling. And so we said, thank you, Jesus, and kept going and kept tithing and kept giving and kept believing. And in November, she said, we have money here to take us into December. All right, that's kind of cool. Christmas time, it comes around, and Christmas time with little kids is obviously a lot of fun. We only had Katie at the time, but a two-year-old. We're not going to skimp on Christmas, and how are we going to pay for all of this? Christmas bills come rolling around. Shell's like, how are we going to pay for this? And lo and behold, we have money to take us into January, into February, into March. It lasted until God had opened up a ministry opportunity that I stepped into for the next 5 years. When I stepped into that job, the money dried up. I was kind of hoping that I could be retired at age 33, but God had other plans for that at the time. But I'll say this, when God begins giving you a word to launch out, it might seem crazy. We had no idea what was going to happen, but it was planting the seeds, I believe, for church planting. Fast forward a couple years, God had called us to start Urban Road and open up Colossus. We can go back to the picture here. And we had no clue stepping into here what all God was going to do. We met up with a pastor from Washington, D.C., who really spoke some incredible stuff into our lives. But you probably maybe saw the phrase there very quickly. But he challenged us with this phrase, go, set, ready. Now, we're used to hearing it a different way, aren't we? Ready, set, go. I don't know about you. I've always been a ready, set, ready, set, ready, set person. I want to make sure it's planned. I want to make sure things are ready. And I might even get to the point of set. And then I like going right back to ready. Well, we're not quite there yet. Not quite perfect. It's not, all the details aren't fully figured out. And so ready, set, we're almost ready. And then let's go back again. And this word that spoke of saying, no, you go. If God calls you, you go, and he'll get you ready. He'll get you set along the way, but you step out in faith when he gives you that green light. And so that word became embedded deep within us, because the reality is none of us will ever be fully ready. None of us will ever have perfect situations and circumstances. And so Colossus became available. It was interesting. Up until the time that we took it, we would drive around our city and say, God, where is it that you have? What spot? What location? And Colossus was on our radar. But prior to that, any building that we drove by, and no joke, anytime we'd say, okay, is that the place that we're supposed to be? We'd drive by the next week, and that building would either be occupied or torn down, literally. And saying, okay, this is crazy. We know we're supposed to be in this city, but God, you're going to have to open something up. Colossus was on hold by another church that was thinking about doing some stuff there. And then just when we felt, when all these pieces were converging, that God was calling us to go, this church suddenly released its hold on Colossus, and it became available. And at the time, there was a grand old total of 6 adults and 2 kids. We walked into that place, and if you've ever been in Colossus, it is as its name sounds. It is this colossal place, 18 theaters plus an IMAX, seating capacity of all of those theaters of 5,000. It is huge. And yet, as we're standing there, these 6 people and 2 kids, we felt God saying, you launch out. It seems ridiculous. What do 6 people need a 5,000-seat, you know, theater complex for? And I remember meeting with another minister, and so he was asking how the plans for the church were coming along, and I remember him saying, and he was surprised that we had taken Colossus and had booked it by faith, which is a bit scary when you sign a contract. And he said, well, why don't you start in your home? Seems appropriate. 6 people, 2 kids. You fit in a living room. And I remember driving away from that coffee meeting, and this passage, Luke chapter 5, just rose up. The only thing I can call it is this aggressive response of faith inside of me. And I knew God was saying, no, you go with what I've called you to do, and you launch out. It doesn't make sense. It's crazy. It's irrational, but I am calling you to do it. Is it still too big for us? Yep. But you know what? I have a vision and a dream that one day every theater is going to be filled there on a Sunday morning. One day, people that have never connected with Jesus are going to walk into that place, and people are going to find that their stories are colliding with God's story. And I love it this way. Here's a couple questions to ponder. What if a dead end really isn't a dead end after all? What if it's just a starting point for a new chapter and a new path in your life? Think in your own story and in your life, obstacles or barriers that you might be facing even right now. What if that obstacle and barrier isn't really a barrier? What if it's just an opportunity for God to come in and to do something about it? He said, I can do something with that. I can do something with that emptiness or that brokenness or that messiness or whatever that situation is. What if the greatest struggle or situation you might be going through right now is really just a catalyst for Jesus to do something about it? It changes everything. And that's the key. Jesus said to his disciples, launch out, keep going, keep on going. What we see as a limitation, Jesus looks at as an opportunity. He says, leave that small thinking behind, leave the predictability behind, launch out, step out into something that is so far beyond you that you'll fail at it unless God shows up. A lot of times, Jesus doesn't ask us to do what makes sense. He doesn't ask us to come up with the answer, but he does ask us to step out in faith. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the impossibilities. I want you to catch that here this morning. Last question, and I'll get the worship team to come back up. I do this frequently in our setting of leaving people with a question. Question to take and to wrestle with throughout your week. To take a question, let it get immersed in your thoughts and in your heart and in your soul. What area do you need to launch out deeper in? For some of you, that's an individual question. Situation or circumstance that you might be finding yourself in right now that God is going to call you, and maybe he's already stirring that up in you to launch out deeper. For some of you, it might be as big and as small of a step as simply going across the street and talking to your neighbor. That could be a huge step. Sometimes that's the furthest distance that we can go in our world, is just simply next door or across the street. But I also want to speak that into you as a faith community. Where is God calling you as a church to launch out deeper? I know with your pastors, with Jazz and Les, that God has given them a vision to reach not only this community, but beyond. Where is God calling you to launch out? Go for it. I want to speak that as a word of faith into you this morning, to don't be scared by the circumstances or by the challenges that are there. Don't be put off by the money. Don't be put off by the cost to it or the comfort zone that's there, because as you step out in faith, God is going to unleash incredible blessings and opportunities in front of you. What we look at as limitations, God looks at as opportunities. We've had this happen so often, even within Urban Road, where our backs are up against the wall financially. And this has happened twice this year already, where the funds are like at near depletion, and all of a sudden a phone call comes or a check comes in the mail. And it's beyond anything you could ever imagine that God's saying, I'm positioning you. You just keep stepping out in faith. And so I want to leave that with you. What does that mean in your life? What does it mean for you? Last pictures. This is an incredible picture from National Geographic. And I love it. It's a little bit too dark to see here, but it's this man that is in a fishing boat that is out there on this calm lake that's happening there. Seems, I mean, with you can read into it what you want, but there's the dark clouds. There's kind of this air of what's happening, this unpredictableness that happens. But I think that's so often what life is like, that we're in this little boat. It can feel like it could be unstable at times. But I want you just to pan back in the next picture. As he stands there on this boat, it's hard to see, but can you see the multitude of fish that are underneath him in that moment? I want you to capture that as a picture this morning. As those disciples launched into that boat, they had no clue the resources and what was underneath them. When we step out in faith, when God calls us to launch out into the deep, it might feel like a small boat. It feels like we're leaving the safety of shore behind, but we have no idea the richness and the bounty and the fruitfulness that is underneath us. God knows it because he's put it there. God looks at that nothing and says, I can fill it. You can find that image online, but to me, it's an incredibly powerful, powerful picture of God's kingdom and what it's about. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the call of faith that calls us to launch deep, that calls us to launch without hesitation. I pray for my friends that are here this morning, God, that it would be a word and a seed that's deposited within our faith and our mindset, individually and collectively, as a gathering of Jesus followers. God, you know every story, every circumstance, every situation. You know the obstacles, whether those are physical obstacles or financial or anything else that could come against us. And yet you call us to launch deep in our faith. You call us to step out. And that could be towards a passion. It could be towards a cause. It could be towards certain people. It could be towards a vision beyond anything we could ever imagine. And I pray that over CLA Gibson's here right now, God, that you would allow a spirit of faith to rest within them, to rest within Pastor Jazz and Les, that you would cause around them their leadership team and this faith community to launch out deeper into the things that you have called them to do. And just even as we've seen what you are doing here already, awakening within people a passion and a hunger to follow after you, I pray that that would become just exponential and far beyond anything they could ever imagine. As they take their boat out, as they take those steps of faith, that there is a harvest, there is a fruitfulness, there is a bounty that is there below the surface, beyond what they can envision or imagine. And yet I pray that you would cause that to come into their boat, that you would cause other boats to come alongside, and together this partnership that's going to continue to take place, and you're going to take them into a place far beyond anything they could ever imagine or hope for or dream. It means leaving that comfort zone. It means leaving the past behind. It means leaving fears and failures, but it means stepping into a new mindset, even as you have called us to. The kingdom of God is an amazing, powerful, powerful thing. And it's something that you call us to experience, to live out, to believe, to declare, to model, to put into action. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.